Tom Brousseau may have a ghostly voice, but don't be fooled by the title of his new album, Posthumous Success. The songwriter is still very much alive.
Haven't I been told to you that won't ever change if it's all the same? I'll always be what you want me to. Haven't I been true to you?
And that's the tune Been True from Tom Brousseau's new CD, Posthumous Success. And Tom Brousseau joins us from NPR West in Culver City. Welcome to the program, Tom.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, it's an old axiom that artists usually sell more records when they're dead than when they're alive. That, does that have anything to do with your title, Posthumous Success?
Yes, it does. It has everything to do with the title. In fact, in many ways, I feel like I have died.
What do you mean?
Well, I think that
because if you're dead, we're going to lead with this, you know.
Good. That you progress in life, and I think the amount of traveling I've done and songs that I've written, I just feel like I've moved on. I'm no longer my older self. I feel like I've graduated.
I mentioned your voice earlier, and some critics have noted, and I hear it on this new CD, that you sometimes sing, I don't know how to put this elegantly, in a high range, perhaps?
Yes.
You sing like a girl, sort of.
Who said that?
Oh, let's see here. It's a guy named John Nolan who said that.
No, I do get that quite a bit. I could probably sing in a lower range. I just think that the higher one is what I'm most comfortable with.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But recently, I've just come to the conclusion maybe that's what posthumous success has to do with. Maybe I'm going to start singing in the lowest voice I can possibly sing in.
Yeah. Well, I had read the same John Nolan. You told him maybe because you want to sound like a woman, and the woman you'd like to sound like is Mahalia Jackson.
Mahalia Jackson or Sarah Vaughan.
Yeah.
Those two ladies were definitely the two performers that I copied when I was growing up.
In the albums that you've released over the last couple of years, some of them were self-released, and they're pretty simple. It's just you and a guitar. But this one, it's layered. I mean, it's not hyper-produced, because I don't want to say that, but it's lovely. Why did you want to change it? And I guess, as you say on the back of your CD, put clothes on the skeleton.
I think that's partly due to the two gentlemen who were involved in the production of it. A guy out in New York, his name is Adam Pierce, and a gentleman in Portland, Oregon, named Ethan Rose. The two of them have similar but sort of different styles, and they were the ones who were truly at the helm of the ship and had said, if we do a record, then we should try something new. Are you ready for it? And I said, well, I'm ready for it.
The first cut, My Favorite Color Blue, stripped down, just you and a guitar.
It's hard for me to say where to begin. Everything is caving in. Everything is up in the air.
Last track on the CD, My Favorite Color Blue. Synthesizers, drums.
I'm bleeding now, and I don't even care.
Is this a kind of compare and contrast? Let's see how I can popify this song, you know, kind of an experiment?
Definitely an experiment. Both actually were. But in terms of was I trying to popify the song, I don't think so. I think in general I'm probably against doing that. One was recorded in New York and the other version was recorded in Portland.
So being in the studio in New York, that's the stripped-down version?
That's the stripped-down one,
yeah.
That's right. We had the door open, and the Hudson Valley was right at our feet, so it was very, very beautiful, and I think there are even sounds of nature that weren't trapped into the recording, which was nice.
I keep having the same dream a day of growth. The one where he's playing the drums in the hall. Got him wrapped in rusty chains.
Am I hearing you mention Dave Grohl, the drummer for Nirvana, lead singer for the Foo Fighters? Dave Grohl, what's he doing in your song?
That's right. What's he doing in my dream, really, is what it comes down to. Usually I craft over songs to death, but on some of the numbers on this record, including My Favorite Color Blue, I just let come out what I truly felt. And if it had to do with having a dream about David Grohl, well, so be it.
Can you tell us the dream?
He's in the studio, and he's trying to play drums, and he's chained. And I'm supposed to be the keeper of the key, but I cannot figure out how to free him to play drums, and that's the dream.
Calling Dr. Freud, calling Dr. I don't know. I have to get back to the title, Posthumous Success. Albert Camus. That's a chapter from his biography.
Yes, Albert Camus. I've sort of been at fault for not reading as much as I could in my life, but when I was in college, we read The First Man, I believe, which was a manuscript that was, I think, dormant for a few decades before it was released in 1995. And it just struck me how someone can come back from the grave and still tell a story.
You're from North Dakota, Grand mm-hmm. Forks. And you moved out. I mean, you've lived in Nashville. You lived in California. Do you think your music is still influenced by your time there?
I think it will always be in some regards. But I think that I'm not writing so much about my home anymore. I think in a good way. I'm taking note what's happening around me immediately.
You don't live on a bus anymore, do you?
No, I don't. No longer live on a bus. No longer live in a van either.
Yes.
I've quit all that business.
Yes. Can I ask you about the song? This is one I kept going for. To me, it says it means many things, but give me a drum roll.
Miss Lucy is backstage, and she's ready to dance and sing. But before we call her out, I was short one thing. Where's the drum roll? Where's the drum roll?
Sometimes I want that every time I do something embarrassing.
Exactly, right? You hear a little drum roll in the back of your mind.
A little brim shot, right?
yeah, exactly.
Was this for you? I mean, give me a drum roll, please. I'm about to, go on stage, be executed, what?
When I first played the song, I had my mother listen to it. She's, kind of my backboard. Most of what I do, I don't think she really cares for. But she really latched onto that song, and she saw it as, she's kind of cinematic with it, and saw a child being born. And I kind of liked that the best.
Give me a drum roll, where's the drum roll?
Well, you're fairly new on the scene, and I have to say, your first record contract I was reading, I find this amazing. You had a clause in your first record contract to have your car fixed.
That's right.
Boy,
that's
are you
right.
Brazen.
Oh my God,
first contract.
That. Boy, that's embarrassing. Yes, that's true. I did have that. I suppose it was, aside from my guitar, it was the tool that I needed to get around, take my own car.
So what's next when you go out on tour, you insist on green
renting
M&Ms
cars.
And right, that kind of thing?
Oh, no, I don't really ask for much. I just, I'm just glad to be doing what I'm doing.
Tom Brousseau, his new album is called Posthumous Success, and he joined us from the studios of NPR West in Culver City. Tom, thanks, and good luck with this.
Thank you very much.
I don't have to go too far back to feel the strain. Funny, after all this time, there's still water on my brain. I feel for the walls, walk along the edges of the light. I tell myself I ain't even gonna think of things tonight.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.
Can't explain their presence, but they are companionable toads. Now and again, I get a sharp feeling and think of Hazel Mons. I'm watching it.